take me to the coast of Georgia, where sand beaches stretch for miles. Take me to the coast of Georgia, home of the Golden Isle.
Welcome to The Permanent Tourist. I'm your host, Melissa Lee, and we've got a great show for you today. I am really thrilled to have a person with me that I consider to be one of my dearest friends. We may not get to see each other as much as we'd like to or as we used to when we lived closer to each other, but I'm so happy to introduce and welcome Pamela Bauer-Mueller to my show today. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you.
It's so good to have you here, and, you know, we have known each other for going on 10 years?
Wow. That's hard to believe.
It's been a while, and I've watched your publishing of your books grow and go from the beginnings as children's books to what they are now, and I want to talk about your books and your process on the show today and how it all began for you.
Okay. I started in 1999 in Vancouver, British Columbia, with one little book written by a cat, and it's grown into 10 books at this point.
10 books?
10 books.
Wow. How many children's books did you actually write to begin with? I know it was the Kiska series.
The Kiska series were the first three, and then I did two books about raising a guide puppy for the blind, and so that became a book and a sequel. And then I started my first historical novel, Neptune's Honor, which could be still considered a children's book because I do take it to the schools.
You do. You did a lot of work actively in the school system all across the country, did you not?
Yes, I did, and I still do. When I'm invited, I go.
Okay. How did you get into that? I know that you shared this with me once, but there are lots of people that are interested in how you got started and how you've become the success that you've become.
Well, I started locally, and then people would give me the name of somebody else, and it's kind of word of mouth. And then finally, I joined a company that you actually have to pay into, but they help you get a lot of schools. And I did that for 3 years, and that was successful. But then I moved into historical novels, so I needed to dedicate my time and my energy to that.
Right. But you do still, on occasion, if you're asked to come to a school group, you'll do that.
Yes, I will.
That's right. Now, I understand you do your own publishing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider it self-publishing. I consider it independent publishing.
That's right. Usually we call self-publishing one or two books, and it's often aided by an Amazon system or another service. We have an independent publishing company called Pinata Publishing, and we started in 1999 with one book, thinking we wouldn't do any more, but we took all the correct procedures to do that, and now we're in book 10, and we're really happy that we're doing it ourselves.
And by we, you mean?
My husband and I.
He's one of your biggest supporters.
Yes, he is. He's CEO and everything else in the company. I'm just the author.
Michael does all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and he's a great promoter for you, too, when you're doing shows and
yes, he is.
Public appearances and things like that.
Yes, he is.
That's a wonderful experience that y'all can work together and travel together. And I know he has another job, but he's
he
just very supportive of you. You never have a minute to waste, do you?
No, and I could not do this without him, to be honest. And so for anybody that's thinking of starting their own company, you need two. One person cannot do it alone.
No, and I'm learning that with my company too. And I'm also blessed to have a husband who's right there with me supporting. There's just nothing, there's no value you can put on that.
That's correct.
Really. I'm just so excited about everything that's been happening with you. I know that Neptune's Honor was an award-winning historical novel for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That was my first Georgia Author of the Year award, and it was for young adult category. And yes, it was wonderful for me to see that the story of a slave and his best friend, who was his master's son, has reached so many eyes and ears.
It's such a wonderful story.
Thank you.
And you know, this area that we live in is so rich with history. You and I have discussed that. We're going to take a break for just a minute, and when we come back, we'll continue on that theme. Stay with us.
The Pet Food Bank at the Humane Society of South Coastal Georgia is in need of your help. The Pet Food Bank is a distribution program that was started to assist pet owners in our area who would love to keep their pets but are in need of assistance to feed these furry friends. If you are in a position to help stock the almost empty pet food shelves, you may drop off your donation at the Humane Society at 4627 U.S. Highway 17 North or call for other drop-off locations. Pet owners in need of assistance are encouraged to call 912-264-6246. We thank you so much for your help. Tune in every Thursday at 11:05 a.m. for Macy's Furry Friends.
And I'm back with my guest, Pamela Ballard-Mueller. We were talking about the history of the Golden Isles before we took a break, and I think that's one of the things that spurred me on to start my blogging and wanting to share the history of this area. And the more I read about it, the more intrigued I was by it. I think that's something that got you going as well. I'm not sure exactly how you started on the Neptune stories and the subsequent stories, but talk to us a little bit about that.
I moved to St. Simon's Island, and that very week I took the trolley tour, and I heard the story of Neptune Small. And I was so impassioned with that story that I ran to the first bookstore to buy a book, and I was told nobody had ever written his story. So then I said, does he have descendants in the area? And they said, yes. I went to the descendants, and I said to them, would you like the story of your great-great-grandfather written down so that you always have the legacy? And they said, we would love that. And that's how I began, with the help of the family of Neptune.
How did you do your research? Where did you start?
That was a really hard one to research because very little was written about him, but he did belong to the King family, so I started researching the family of the people who own Neptune and found quite a bit of information on them, so I inserted Neptune into the story.
And from what I understand, because I've been on the trolley trip too, from what I understand, the King family was kind of a progressive family, and that they did help educate the people that they owned. None of us like to think of slavery in this day and age, but I think they were maybe a cut above.
Absolutely. She was a woman before her time, and she did educate the slaves that sat at the side of her children. Neptune was actually selected to be a playmate for Lordy, her son, and there were 10 children, so the 10 slaves that were the playmates were all educated, and then they took their education back to their cabins, and pretty soon we had a plantation of slaves with an education.
I think that's just, it's such a wonderful story.
It is.
And the way the whole thing played out with the Civil War is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
He really did, that was a true loving friendship. They were more like brothers.
They were more like twins, they say.
Right,
yeah. They very much loved each other and respected each other.
What was the book that came after that one, Pam?
The next one, I wanted to write about a woman, and so I learned about Cusaponakisa, who we know as Mary Musgrove. She was the Creek Indian woman who met Oglethorpe's ship, and she got land for them, got food for them, and actually stayed with General Oglethorpe for 11 years. And she kept the peace between the Indians and the settlers.
So she really did play a pivotal role in
yes.
the history of our area. Where was she? Was she up in the Savannah area? Is that?
She was up in the Macon area, Coweta. She came from Coweta area, yes.
I didn't realize that. Now, is she the person, and I may be ignorant about some of the subjects of your book, so please correct me. Is she the person that was involved with Indigo, or is that another story?
That's another story.
Okay, let's talk about that one.
Okay. That one was the book before the last one that I just wrote. The Indigo book is called Water to My Soul. It's about a lady from South Carolina, Charleston, actually, who was the first colonist to successfully cultivate the indigo plant. And this is interesting because she was not raised in Charleston. She moved there when she was 15. And she got the indigo plant growing when she was 17,
wow.
against all odds.
That's amazing.
And then she turned around and helped the naysayers who said she couldn't do it grow indigo and made them wealthy.
Another
at the same
woman
point.
Before her time.
Another woman before her time, yes.
We're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Since 1978, Vietnam Veterans of America has helped tens of thousands secure their veterans benefits.
When I think about all those names on the wall, I know if they were here today, they would want to make a difference to Vietnam veterans.
All veterans, and now those returning from Iraq and Afghanistan.
VVA is making a difference through our service and our dedication to all of America's veterans.
If you're a Vietnam veteran or served in the Vietnam era, we want you to join us.
Visit our website at vva.org.
I'm back with Pam Mueller. And we're discussing the many books that she's written that enrich the lives of people in our area and also share the vast history that we are all living within, some of us may not even be aware of all the history that has happened in this area. I know I wasn't until the past year or so. And I had read and worked with Pam on one of her books. We were talking about the Water for My Soul book that you wrote before the one that you are just publishing. But let's go ahead and talk about the Indigo process just a little bit and how important it was in that time.
Okay. Well, Mother England was looking for a colony to produce indigo because she had to buy it all from the French Indies. Eliza Pinckney had lived in the French Indies and moved to Charleston, and she had an inkling on how to do it, but nobody wanted to help her out. And when she eventually achieved growing it, it was very, very important, and she made the colonies wealthy.
That was an amazing feat for a woman.
Yes.
At any time, but especially in that day and age.
That's right.
It really was an amazing thing that she did. Moving forward in history a little bit, see, I may not have been wrong to have put her right there with Neptune Small.
That's right.
The book that I have enjoyed so much is Splendid Isolation. And I met Pam when I lived on Jekyll Island and actually helped with proofreading that book and just enjoyed it so much. And it gave me an insight into the famous Jekyll Island Club. Let's talk about that book for a minute.
Okay. Well, I moved over to Jekyll Island myself, not planning to write a book about it. But when I realized the archives were right there, practically in my backyard, I decided to go and research. And I read about these millionaires, and they were very interesting. But then the curator came to me and said, why don't you write this book through the employees' voices? Because they were equally as interesting, if not more so, than the millionaires that lived here. So they had files and files on each employee, and I picked four. And I tell the book starting in 1888, when they actually built the clubhouse, and ending in 1942, when they all left because of World War II. Too, but I tell it through the voices of the employees with the millionaires swimming in the background.
I think that's really a great way to hear that story. It's a way that you don't normally hear things. Normally you're hearing about the big names like Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan and the different people who were part of the club, but these people tell the story from such a different perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can feel their emotions. You can feel the time of the day, the style of the day a little bit more in depth.
And you get to know them and like them as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely. And you get to see how they interacted with those families. It was quite a time in history.
It was amazing.
It truly was. And, you know, I love going over to the Jekyll Club Hotel because you can still feel that essence in a way as you go through the halls of the structure and see everything that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And go through the different buildings that are there in the historic area themselves.
That's right. I'm still waiting to see the ghost. I keep hearing about ghosts,
oh,
and I haven't met one yet. I'm hoping that will happen soon.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
I know. I was on a trip, and a media trip, where they discussed the woman in white that's supposed to be on St. Simon's Island. And I actually think I had an experience that night. It almost scared me out of my mind.
Oh, wow.
Whoever knows? I don't know. Do you?
No, I don't know, but I'm waiting.
It's fun.
It is.
There's lots of stories like that milling around in our area. And with that in mind, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Pam's researching of these books and talk about her new book that I think you'll love to know about.
I've been competing in sports for as long as I can remember.
If I put my mind to it, I can do anything. Get up early, stretch, warm up, run, and practice. Taking steroids is like cheating.
Why take steroids?
It can really destroy the body I worked so hard to build.
I work hard to get my body in shape to compete.
I don't want to risk steroids destroying my body.
Steroids aren't part of my game plan. How about you?
Pam, when you do these research projects, you, first of all, obviously come up with the idea of the person.
Yes.
What do you think draws you to any one person? For instance, the book about the indigo process. What drew you to Eliza? Is it Eliza?
Yes. Usually somebody comes to me and says, I have an idea in mind, a person you should write about. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's happened to every one of the books except Neptune's Honor, which I chose because of the story.
Right.
So sometimes they'll give me an idea that I'll follow through and not like the person, and so I won't write about them, but maybe I'll find somebody else in my research, and that happened to me with An Angry Drum Echoed. I chose Mary Musgrove, but she was not the person who was given to me, so she was a friend of that lady. And then the other times, somebody will give me, Buddy Sullivan mentioned the person in my new book, Kitty Green, and it took me a year and a half to actually follow that clue and go research her, and when I did, I realized I wanted to write her story.
How far has your research taken you, travel-wise?
I've gone all the way up to Rhode Island for my new book because both Nathaniel Green and Kitty Littlefield Green were born and raised in Rhode Island, so I got to go up there.
That had to have been fun.
And it was really fun. It was awesome.
Talk about history. And the fact that you were able to trace them down to our area.
Exactly. But the most important part for me up there was I got to go into the house Nathaniel Green was born in. And that was over 200 years ago. And his great-great-great-great nephew still lives in the house. And I was able to interview him. He's 86.
Oh, my goodness. I bet he's thrilled about this.
He is. He loves his copy, and he's asking for some for Christmas for his family, which I'm happy to send to him.
Now, just to the side, because you are in the business of writing books, but you do sell books as well.
Yes.
Your books are available locally.
They're available locally. They're available across the United States. Actually, they're available worldwide. We do have a distributor in Michigan, so anybody can get them anywhere in the world, and they're on all the Amazons, the England's Amazon, Australia's, etc. So you can get my books if you want to.
Well, I think that's a great thing.
Me too.
What great Christmas presents, too, that makes.
Yes.
So, let's get to Lady Unveiled.
Okay.
Well, this is your latest book. Let's hear about that.
Well, the official title is Lady Unveiled, Catherine Green Miller, and it's actually going to be launched on January 1st. But because I'm the author and I have the company, I have copies now, and they are in the stores. So, I'm doing book signings even now for this book.
That's a good thing about having your own company.
Exactly, especially at Christmas time.
What drew you to the story of Catherine Green Miller? You always write about very independent women who tend to be ahead of their time. Tell us about the setting of the book and a little bit about your heroine.
This one is far beyond all the others as far as being a woman before her own time. I like to say that instead of asking for permission, she spent her life asking for forgiveness.
Really?
Yes, she did. And she really had a mind of her own. She was proper and loving, but she was very, very selfish, and she had a lot of warts. And I've never written about a woman that had so many flaws. So it was kind of hard for me as an author to make sure or to feel that I need to show everything about her, but eventually, as I did, the reader's going to love her at the end of the book. And it was a struggle, but I think I made it.
Now, the book takes place?
Takes place. It starts out in Rhode Island, and then we go into the Revolutionary War. So a lot of that is in New York and Pennsylvania. And then eventually, after the war, Nathaniel is given a home, a plantation right outside of Savannah, Mulberry Grove, and they live there for a while. And then he passes on, and she eventually gets down to Cumberland Island, where Nathaniel had drawn plans for his home, Dungeness, and she built it after his death with using his plans.
That's an amazing story, too.
Yes.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about it after we come back from this break, so stay with us. I think we've got a really interesting conversation going.
The Pet Food Bank at the Humane Society of South Coastal Georgia is in need of your help. The Pet Food Bank is a distribution program that was started to assist pet owners in our area who would love to keep their pets but are in need of assistance to feed these furry friends. If you are in a position to help stock the almost empty pet food shelves, you may drop off your donation at the Humane Society at 4627 U.S. Highway 17 North or call for other drop-off locations. Pet owners in need of assistance are encouraged to call 912-264-6246. We thank you so much for your help. Tune in every Thursday at 11:05 a.m. for Macy's Furry Friends.
Let's continue talking about Lady Unveiled and the story of Catherine Green Miller. When we left off before the break, you were talking about the house that Catherine built according to the plans of her deceased husband, Nathaniel Green.
Mm-hmm. Well, after he died, she had four suitors, and they were generals from the war, and one of them was actually a man living in her home with her who had tutored her children, all madly in love with her, and she kind of led them all on, which a lot of people found distasteful, including President Washington.
Really?
Yes, and his wife Martha. They actually called her in and said, "Why are you living in this house with Phineas?" And she said, "Because I have to get the money back from the government that they owe my deceased husband." Which he paid out of loans that he took out. And you know as well as I do that if I marry Phineas or any of these other men, I will not get Nathaniel's money back. I have to be Widow Green. And she proved to be right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
You know, I see this little thread of similarity between these different women that you write about throughout history. But I also know you well enough to know you're that kind of person, too. I mean, you are a survivor. You've had your ups and downs and your challenges in your life. You've spent time as a single mother. I really do think that you have a success story that's inspiring to so many people.
Thank you.
And I'm so proud to be your friend and to watch everything growing for you the way it is.
Well, thank you. I do know I put part of myself in all of my books. I also use my daughters as models for some of the characters that I have written about. And it's just fun when you go back and read it when it's finished to see how much of everybody that you love is in your story.
I think that's wonderful. That's what a legacy that is, too, to pass down
yes.
through the family. I think you have some events coming up to do with Lady Unveiled that people locally will be interested in knowing about and will want to attend. Share those with us.
Okay, well, Saturday of this week, I will be at G.J. Ford's. They're having a holiday party from 1 to 3, and I will be there with another author and friend, Patsy Robert-Smith. And she has children's books, and I'll have Lady Unveiled. And then that weekend also, we will be out at the Christmas fair in St. Simon's Island at the outdoor market.
And that is that down near the pier?
Yeah, that's
area?
In Neptune Park.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Will you have all of your books available for people to buy at that?
I will have all my books available.
So if anybody wanted to start with book one, they can just get one of each and enjoy it.
Or at least gift them at Christmas time.
Right,
yes, that's right.
At Christmas time. I don't think there's any better gift than a book, really.
I don't either.
What words of wisdom, because I know you actively work at paying back because of your success, you like to help other people who are interested in writing. I would consider you to be a wonderful mentor. What words of wisdom would you like to share with anybody about writing?
Well, thank you, Melissa, for that compliment. I am very happy to help anybody out that wants to ask me questions, email me, whatever you want to do, because people helped me when I started. Writing to me is a solitary vocation. All writers do it in a different way. I have to get up very early, 5:30, and start writing in the morning, 2 or 3 hours undisturbed, and then I have to get up and move away for a while.
So it is a discipline.
It's a discipline, and I discipline myself. I won't tell you that I write 5 days a week because that isn't necessarily true, but I write when I can, and then when I want to go away and have fun, I do that too.
Isn't
because
it nice?
I always want it to be a fun work and not something that I dread.
Well, you're certainly making that happen. And you share it with others in a great way. And I know many, many people think so highly of you and love your books.
Thank you so much.
This has gone way too fast today. We are at the end of the show. And I just am so grateful that you joined me today, Pam. And I hope that people will take the time to purchase your books, give them as gifts, and read them themselves. And in the meantime, please visit www.thepermanenttourist.com and read my blog if you'd like to. I've got lots of interesting articles coming up on it. And I will be here next week with another wonderful guest to share with you. Have a great week.
Take me to the coast of Georgia, where sand beaches stretch for miles. Take me to the coast of Georgia, home.